Okay, so let's get started. Good morning. Only the bravest show up at this time of the morning for this kind of session. My name is Silvano Coriani. I'm part of the Azure Customer Advisory team. We are a small group distributed around the world. We are part of the Azure Engineering organization, and we engage with the most complex and the biggest projects that are happening on Azure nowadays. And our role is basically to provide guidance, making sure that our customers are successful running their solutions on Azure, but also, more important, to collect experience, feedback, gaps, and issues that customers have encountered by moving into Azure, and pairing with our peers in the development organization, making sure that the next release and future releases of Azure will basically fill the gaps that they found. So the idea for this morning is to share with you some of the experience that we have had in participating to these larger projects. And those of you who attended yesterday's session from Mark Krusinovic, some of the projects are similar, or some are exactly the project that Mark presented yesterday. And essentially, what he stressed in terms of the needs when you move applications into the cloud to be able to log everything that is happening on your application from a failure perspective, from a number of different dimensions in terms of diagnostics and other information that you want to capture. This aspect is really, really important, because when you're moving into the cloud again, you need to be able to understand the entire ecosystem, basically, that is supporting your application. So we will go through some of these experiences. We will talk a little bit about the kind of monitoring tools that we have, the diagnostic sources that we have in Azure, the different services, how we can collect this information, how we can correlate the data between different sources, and essentially how to consume these informations, this large amount of data that will be generated by our own solutions and by the environment that is hosting our solutions. And we will go through some of the practical customer examples that we have had, again, working with large solutions on Azure. So traditionally speaking, in the classic IT space, the kind of monitoring and diagnostic experience have been, customers are facing some kind of issues, and someone, maybe the system administrator, the DBA, whoever, is basically logging into some of the servers that are basically composing our infrastructure, and they are manually looking into, trying to find what kind of issues, what kind of problems, maybe looking at performance counters, looking at DMVs, other diagnostic informations that have been generated or are generated through all the components basically that are creating that are composing our solution. And of course, this model have worked kind of well in the past, when the amount of components and the size of our solution is limited, and you have to have someone in place in-house that is available when the problem is happening, in order to take a look of what's going on, and the amount of information and the amount of issues that can happen and can be troubleshooted by someone, some human in our organization is limited. Okay, in the cloud, when we are moving toward solutions that are composed by hundreds, maybe thousands of different components, database instances, compute nodes, cache nodes, and so on, these assumptions, this approach really doesn't work. And we have found this again working with many customers. And what is required most of the time from an operational standpoint in order to keep your solutions up and running are a number of features that will cover, you know, these different type of scenarios. All of them are required in order to be able to kind of master, you know, the operational requirements that you may have when you move in the cloud. Things like alerting, for example, so be notified when something happens, or, you know, before something bad can happen, for example. So where the time scale is now, basically, and, you know, the amount of data is typically not super big, but you know, the context that is related to the event that is happening right now can be even large. You need to have some sort of dashboarding in order to, you know, do some sort of trend analysis, understand how your service is working, try to basically keep an eye on, you know, the key performance indicators that are giving you an idea if, you know, things are going well or, you know, are going bad. And, you know, the typical time horizon is, let's say, last week or, you know, the last couple of days, 48 hours. It depends a lot on what, you know, you want to achieve in this case. But basically, you have a single view on the state and the health of your solution. And then you may need and require a number of reports that you want to generate, for example, for a number of different reasons, like I want to understand if I can optimize, for example, the resource consumption of my application, and I want to balance between costs and performance. In the cloud, this aspect of finding, you know, the sweet spot between costs and, you know, the ability of your application to deliver, you know, the service that the customers are expecting is super, super important. So having, you know, the ability to produce, you know, this set of reports that will be analyzed, for example, during, you know, war rooms or other kind of, you know, recurring meetings. These are, you know, super important information that customers are asking for. And then, you know, there are some organizations that really are doing, you know, kind of predictive analytics on top of how the application is behaving, is working, in order to understand, you know, future usage of, you know, of our service, or to understand, for example, you know, what kind of investment is required in order to keep up the pace with, you know, the increased amount of traffic and usage that our application may experience. So these are some of the most common scenarios that that we have. And the problem is, again, everything is relatively easy when you have a small amount of components in your application. But when you scale and you have some of these large services, to give you an example, a couple of examples of solutions we have been working on in the last couple of years, the Winter Olympic Games, for example, in Sochi, has been a really interesting project, and we are talking about literally tens of millions of users that are registering into the service, that are using, you know, things like, you know, live feeds, like live results feed, and things like that, and of course, you know, you want to distribute this solution across many geographies, because, you know, your audience is global, and you know, the amount of traffic that is generated, and, you know, the requirements of, again, monitoring what the system is doing in a kind of a real time, but also in a more detailed way when you need to, you know, find, you know, some more insights on how the application is working. This, you know, this complexity requires, you know, a different approach. You cannot just log into you know, VM or compute node and try to understand what's going on. That this really doesn't work. So what are the key differences? We may have had a lot of experience working on with on-premises system. What is really changing when you move into the cloud? Well, most of the time, the scale is making a big difference, right? So the number of potential users that are accessing the application can explode. And the more your application is successful, the more, of course, you are in trouble in terms of trying to understand how to troubleshoot, how to monitor your solution. You may have different SLAs. depending on, you know, if you are a kind of a consumer-oriented service or a business-oriented service. We are working with a lot of, for example, traditional ISV companies that are moving into a software as a service model, and they have strict SLAs that they have to guarantee to their own customers. And they are building their solution on top of a platform that have its own set of SLAs, and they need to make sure that these two things are combining, and they need to make sure that, you know, on top of what we provide with our cloud platform, they can monitor what's going on in their solution and in the way the solution is using the underlying set of services and resources. So one important aspect that we have found in terms of troubleshooting is that it's super important to separate two main aspects here. One is, again, to be able to mitigate as soon as possible the problems that are happening on our platform. So the time to detect and the time to resolve a particular issue is super critical, especially when we are talking about these strict SLAs where some financial aspects are involved as well. And on the other side, there is the kind of post-mortem analysis in terms of, you know, the root causes that generated the problem, and potentially long-term analysis in terms of how to potentially avoid this kind of failures in the future. So we need to be able to actually, again, monitor in near real time, if you will, what's going on, be alerted possibly before, you know, bad things are happening, and react and solve the immediate problem. But at the same time, we want to collect all the context, all the ambient information that will help us to do this kind of long-term analysis and run our business in a kind of a healthy way in the future. So essentially, again, how can I basically fix the problem on time? How can I avoid, you know, customers or my end users basically leaving my service because of the problem that I have? But at the same time, I don't want, of course, to invest millions in terms of building just a monitoring solution that is monitoring our business. So we need to find a trade-off, and this trade-off typically is built on top of these three dimensions. So I want to understand, you know, availability profiles of my application. I want to understand the performance characteristics or performance issues that may happen. And also, super important, especially for the business side of the house, I want to be able to understand how customers are using my service. And again, we can adopt some of these practices in order to be able to support our business when they need to understand, for example, how successful is a certain feature, how much adoption is getting a particular new feature that they have been, you know, planning for or implementing for. So how can we understand if our application is running in a good shape or if there are some issues? So we typically see three different phases. One is, again, collect all this information, look for all the diagnostic sources that we have. Our applications, our solutions are the first source in terms of diagnostic information. So be able to instrument all our components and services, how they interact to each other, is super important. And, you know, the ability to collect these events and information and deliver this information to an analytics layer or service is important. And we can collect this information in many ways. We will see, you know, the different approaches that we can have. But it's important, again, to be able to capture this information and, you know, to transfer this information to something that will be able to analyze. Again, maybe in real time for the kind of short-term kind of reactions that needs to happen to mitigate a problem, but also the kind of long-term trend analysis and capacity planning and this kind of requirements. And And we need to, of course, be able to consume this information in a kind of a visual and handy way in order to understand, again, what's going on and ultimately make better decisions on how to run our business. One important point here is this is not a different application from, you know, our main service. This is just this is just part of our business. You know, be able to, again, collecting all this information, capturing, analyzing this information. This is just part of running a solution. Sometimes, I found that working with some customers at the beginning, they completely avoided. You know, they completely missed this point, and you know, they started, you know, to go in production with an application that was not instrumented, you know, without a proper, you know, data collection strategy, without a proper telemetry infrastructure in place, and they failed all the times. So it's important to consider, you know, of course there are the business features that our application is implementing, but telemetry is a vital part of our application, especially when we are moving into the cloud. And when we are building these telemetry systems, or when we are adopting something that is available on the market, we need to keep in mind that there are several perspectives that are interesting for, analyzing our application behaviors. First of all, there's the user experience. How reactive is our application? You know, what is the main response, the average response times of our web pages, or you know, the business transactions that are running? From a business perspective, I want to understand again how the users are behaving on the application. So understanding how many users I have, you know, what are the trends in terms of usage, so that I can plan in advance, for example, leveraging some of the elastic characteristics of the cloud, how to accommodate, you know, this workload. From an application perspective, it's important to understand, you know, all the metrics, how basically the system is responding to the application requests. If there are queues, for example, in my web front end, if from a database perspective, my execution times or my query plans are actually efficient and are giving me back the result set in the time I'm expecting. If there are exceptions, of course, transient errors. We know, you know, when we move into the cloud, we can, or we should expect, some transient failures that can happen. And we need to have all the short circuits in place in order to react, for example, to a partial service degradation when we are accessing a third-party service or component. We need to make sure that we have all this kind of machinery in place in order to react when things are not, you know, super perfect. And then we have, from an infrastructure perspective, because behind the scene, our cloud solutions are supported, are backed up by this infrastructure. We need to collect, some more ambient data from, what kind of capacity I have right now. Do I need more capacity? Do I need to deploy more node where, it's possible to scale out, for example, my solution? And, are these instances performing well? And so on. And again, it's important because when we have this information, when we find, all the sources and the perspectives that we are looking for, it's important to understand what we are doing, what we are going to do with this amount of data. So are this information something that I need to react as quick as possible because, there's an alert and I need a kind of a real-time response, or this is something that I just can analyze, after the fact when I'm doing some sort of, post-mortem analysis and so on. What's the amount of data that I need to analyze? Do I need to capture everything, or can I filter out informations that are not relevant for analyzing, to analyze my problem, for example? Do I need to capture the call stack in my exceptions or not, depending on what kind of analysis I'm doing? Again, how to make the data collection efficient when we are moving data from the local sources to to a kind of a centralized store that will collect our diagnostic information. These are aspects that are important, you know, to understand in order to, again, build the kind of telemetry analytic solution that we need to support our solution. So what are the kind of sources that we need to understand and start collecting? So there are different type of signals that are generated by our solution and by the infrastructure that is running our solution. So essentially, we have something like continuous information sources like performance counters. Performance counters in virtual machines, for example, are continuously generated and updated, but we also have kind of discrete information sources like log files, log entries, for example, and how to find out the real piece of information inside this kind of diagnostic source is important. Do I need to kind of just take a sample or a snapshot of the data that I have? Do I need to calculate deltas, for example, from the previous value? This is kind of typical, for example, when we are extracting diagnostic sources from Azure SQL database or SQL Server, where we need to snapshot, for example, DMV results, DMV outputs. Is this a kind of a push or pull data collection mechanism? So are these information sources pushing data into a common, repository, or do I need to poll with a certain frequency all these diagnostic sources periodically? And again, is this something that my application is generating through some sort of, for example, a custom performance counter that my application is generating, or is just part of this ambient data that I'm collecting from the nodes that are actually running my application? So there are definitely these two buckets of diagnostic sources. So we have again for performance compute nodes, we have access to the underlying operating system metrics, right? We have access to performance counters. We have access to, for example, ETW sources. So our applications can generate data, but also the system can generate data, the operating system itself, and we can capture these traces and have a super detailed kind of high volume flow of ambient data generated from the virtual machines and from the compute nodes that are running our system. And then the application itself again is providing or can provide the same set of signals through, for example, instrumentation. There are some third-party packages, like, for example, AviCode, or right now, all these major vendors like New Relic, like AppDynamics, Microsoft Application Insights is also providing the instrumentation capabilities in order to profile, for example, APIs call, ADO.NET calls to the database, and so on. And we also, of course, have manual tracing, where we are basically capturing using system diagnostic trace or third-party components like Nlog or Log4Net and so on, and we have all the first-party or third-party services inside the Azure platform, like for example Azure SQL DB that is exposing DMVs and other diagnostic sources, Azure Cache. And again, all these Azure storage has its own set of metrics, diagnostic metrics information that we can capture and we can aggregate with the rest of these diagnostic sources. So again, how to capture all these signals at scale when we have again tens or hundreds of nodes? Well, it's important that we are instrumenting our code in order to capture this important information. So what is the context that is generating this diagnostic data? So what is the application module, the application component? We need to understand who is generating this piece of diagnostic code. What is the host system, the name of the VM, the name of the instance that is generating this diagnostic code? And the timing information. This is super important when we have services that are talking to other services. You know, service-to-service interaction, that may be, for example, my compute node talking to my database node, or, you know, my business logic that is talking to another service. It's important to trace, for example, timing information and to understand, you know, when this operation started, when, you know, how much time it took, and so on. And when possible, to have activity correlations, so activity identifiers that will let me to understand, you know, the end-to-end information flow, the end-to-end, you know, interaction path between the user and all the services that the user is accessing, you know, when is using a certain feature. And, you know, in my experience, at the application tier level, we have a fairly, you know, rich amount of diagnostic sources that are more or less captured through some of these standard standard behaviors. Also, from an Azure perspective, we will see, you know, we have Windows or Microsoft Azure diagnostic that is in place and is helping us. What most of the time we are missing is, again, this end-to-end experience and the correlation between different services. I see increasing response times when I'm using a certain feature. I want to understand what's going on in my compute tier, but at the same time, I want to understand what's going on in my data tier, because it may be that, for whatever reason, because I may lacking of, you know, the proper maintenance on my data indexes, for example, and my query plans in my SQL engine are not selective anymore. I need to do something, and, you know, in order to rebuild my indexes, for example, and I want to understand where this increased delay is coming from. And, you know, correlation is super important. And because we are talking about potentially tens or thousands of databases, I want to make sure that all this correlation informations are captured into a centralized source that, you know, will give me the ability to, for example, build a nice, you know, dashboard on top of that. So from a code perspective, the kind of information that we need to capture are, for example, represented in this sample here. This is a kind of a simple method that is executing a generic piece of database code, is receiving as a parameter, you know, the action, the code fragment that it has to execute, and is going through a kind of a common common format that is, at the end, you know, capturing the start time of this operation, is executing the action, maybe by wrapping it into a transient fault handling retry strategy, so that if something goes wrong executing this action, I don't need to code myself, you know, all the retry logic, but I can reuse. We will see later on in a live example how to do that. And then, you know, after this action has been executed, I'm just capturing, for example, how long it took to execute this operation, and I'm also capturing, of course, all the possible exceptions that are happening working with the database, or in general, as a general exception. And again, it's important to be able to capture the context that we were mentioning before. So where this problem happened, you know, what is the component name, the method name, and possibly also the call stack that generated. So if in our application logic, in our data access tier and so on, we will apply, you know, this kind of standard pattern of capturing service-to-service interaction, critical access path to, the key services that our application is using. We will be able to, again, generate this amount of diagnostic information, and then we will be able to analyze, for example, why for a certain component, for a certain, you know, access path in our application, the execution times for this API call are increasing, for example, in that particular, you know, time period. So logging is super important, and essentially, as I said, we have a number of logging technologies. Windows itself, since I would say forever, has implemented a lightweight framework for basically kernel level logging that we can reuse in our own applications. This framework has been created to capture, for example, the operating system metrics, low level details, but we can easily access this this framework through, for example, the event source class that is available starting from .NET Framework 4.5. So this means that we can very easily define the kind of events that we want to capture from an application perspective. And in our code, we can use the event source class to, again, create our own set of events and then let the ETW infrastructure to deal with capturing this kind of continuous flow of information. And we may, for example, dump this diagnostic information locally on a node by node basis, or we may want to use, for example, some components, some plumbing components like the semantic logging application block that the pattern and practices team created in order, for example, to capture this ETW streams, event streams that our application is generating, and define a number of syncs that we can use, for example, to save this, to store these events into, for example, Windows Azure tables, Windows Azure storage tables, or SQL, Azure SQL DB, or a file that we store locally and then we upload, for example, into blob storage. So by combining this event source technology, that event source class that we have, and the definition of a custom event source, again we have the ability to capture these events, these tracing events, into the same process that is, hosting our application, and to basically redirect this into the proper storage technology that we will select, or, and this is an interesting solution, to just, write these events into an ETW channel and have an external process that may live into the same node that is actually hosting our application. But the beauty of having an external project is that we are not missing any event, even in case our application is crashing, for example. So we have this collector that is reading all the ETW channels that we are specifying in this configuration file, and is associating all these different events potentially to different syncs. So for example, I can save locally in a log file in my node, all the high frequency, low level details that can be then after the fact that can be uploaded into blob storage, or I can save the kind of aggregated information and summarized information into a different sync that maybe I want to save into an Azure SQL database instance in a asynchronous way. So semantic logging application block gives you the ability to configure different data acquisition paths and different data stores in order to save our diagnostic information that the application is generating. And this information can then be analyzed through a third-party tool. We have a tool in Windows called Purview that can analyze this ETW channels and sources. We can save this into event log, or we can store it, as I said, into a different into an external service. So we by reusing this kind of logging approach, again, we have different solutions in order to save different type of diagnostic information in our system. And again, we can redirect these events to a number of different destinations, and we can define the kind of formatting, the formatters that we want to use in order to take this ETW stream of data and convert it into a kind of a serialized, maybe JSON format or XML format or plain text, and so on and so forth. Microsoft Azure Diagnostic. So we have our application generating a great deal of diagnostic information through the event source class, but we also have this ambient data that I was referring to before. So Azure Diagnostic is actually helping us to take all this information, all these diagnostic sources, and to have a in-role monitor process that is actually taking care of aggregating this data with, you know, different policies, different settings, and different approaches, and store this information into a centralized Azure storage account. We know Azure storage is kind of a super cheap and scalable and very large you know, storage service that we have. A single storage account can store up to 200 terabytes of diagnostic data, for example. And you know, the cost of saving this data into Azure storage is definitely not as high as different you know, storage providers. So it's very handy to rely on Azure Diagnostic in order to, again, capture this, you know, performance counters, Windows operating system events, diagnostic events generated through our application, and to store this into table storage, or to take, you know, aggregated data like, for example, IIS log files or crash dumps, and again, have, you know, these files, this information transferred with a certain frequency that we can determine through, you know, the proper configuration of our Azure instance, and to have this, you know, saved, stored into a centralized storage repository. So this is the, so we started by generating some diagnostic data. We started from an approach that is basically requiring an administrator to log on into every single instance and to look, you know, for diagnostic data, to a more consolidated approach where we are basically saving in a kind of a transparent and automatic way all this aggregated data into a single storage. So this is already a huge step. If you have hundreds of these compute nodes, this will give you the ability basically to look for events, to look for exceptions, to look for, you know, diagnostic data in a centralized, you know, repository. Where you can extract this data, you can, for example, use Excel in order to visualize and create some nice charts on top of this diagnostic data, or you can use you know, third-party tools like, for example, Cerebrata and other companies, other similar, you know, companies that are building some diagnostic tools to analyze this kind of data. So we recently introduced Azure Diagnostic 1.2. This is an upgrade compared to, you know, the original Azure Diagnostic infrastructure. And essentially what Azure Diagnostic 1.2 is covering is, first of all, is available for both PaaS nodes and for IIS VMs. So the previous Windows Azure Diagnostic 1.0, that, by the way, is the one that is still, you know, available inside the Azure SDK, was only available for PaaS nodes. If you want to use Azure Diagnostic 1.2, right now we have a set of PowerShell APIs that we can use in order to configure our monitoring, you know, behavior, monitor characteristics, and to determine, for example, what kind of data sources we want to capture. And Diagnostic 1.2 is introducing, as you can see here, support for .NET Event Source or for ETW channel that were not available in the initial release of Microsoft Azure Diagnostic. And there are now a new set of storage tables that are capturing, you know, this additional information, additional diagnostic sources, and, you know, that we can use in our more, you know, broad telemetry strategy, again, in order to aggregate this information. So let me show you a quick example of what we have seen so far. So I have a sample application here. Is a web API project. I have this order controller here that is basically exposing a number of features. Essentially, what I have, you know, the classic Adventure Work database as a backend, and I'm just exposing the ability to get a particular order by ID, and essentially to post a new order in the system. So I'm able to read data out from a Azure SQL database and to write new orders. And I have implemented here an order repository class that is, let me show you the implementation. Is essentially implementing this getOrderByID method that, again, is opening a connection to Azure SQL DB, is executing a stored procedure command, and is taking the result and is just, you know, returning the result as a JSON fragment. The interesting thing here is that I just created a wrapper. This SQL runner class here that is providing this execute method, a generic method that is basically letting me specify, again, the kind of data interaction operation that I'm doing right now. The operation is returning an order class right here. And as you can see here in my traditional data access code, I don't have, you know, the logging capability that I was talking about. I don't have, for example, a robust retry logic, because I implemented these capabilities as part of this wrapper method here, so that all my data access code that I already have in place, and it's a, you know, kind of a legacy in my application, can benefit from these capabilities. In fact, if I go to the implementation here, you can see again that this generic method is doing exactly what I showed you in my previous slide. So essentially, is accepting a function, an activity as part of as a parameter here, is defining a retry strategy by using the transient fault handling application block. This is good, you know, in order to deal with these transient failures that can happen, but more importantly is tracing all the timing information of, you know, how much it takes to execute my database interaction, is tracing potential error or exceptions, and is capturing all this diagnostic information for me. And again, I don't have to modify all my, you know, existing data access code that I have in place, but I'm just wrapping my service-to-service interactions with this, you know, helper method that is providing all this, great deal of diagnostic information for me. And then we can see I created a web role project here, and in my web role project, I have configured the diagnostic information in order to tell to Azure Diagnostic what kind of information I want to capture from the environment, so from the operating system and the node where my code is running, but also from the application. And if you go to the property page here in my Azure node, you see here there's a diagnostics section here where you can enable diagnostic. What you need to provide here is the access key and, you know, the storage account name where you want the diagnostic monitor agent to store all this diagnostic information that are captured for you by the diagnostic agent. And you can create your own custom plan and define, for example, all this policy in terms of data capture and data transfer from the node to the centralized repository for your application log, for your event log, Windows event log, performance counters, can be custom performance counters that your application is generating, or can be, you know, the traditional operating system or .NET performance counters that you have. Infrastructure log, so information around how the diagnostic infrastructure is running, and so on and so forth. And if we see here in the Server Explorer, I'm connecting to the storage account that I was talking, that I set up in my Visual Studio project, and I can see all the tables, all the Azure storage tables that are actually collecting all this diagnostic data. If I, for example, look here at my log table. This is the format that is used by Azure Diagnostic to capture data into the Azure storage. You see that it's all timestamp based, so I can capture when a particular event has happened. I see the deployment ID and the role, the compute role that I'm using, the instance that is generating this information. And for this particular demo, I captured, for example, all the database response times. As you can see here, you can see, for example, that the first time I accessed my database, it took something like 2 seconds, and then after that, it goes down to 78 milliseconds, 31 milliseconds, and so on. With the ability of capturing all these great details in terms of, for example, database access, I can understand that my application, performance in terms of accessing the database are good or bad, depending on what kind of timing. I can, for example, create my dashboard that is reporting to me, how the application is behaving, but also how, for example, the database is behaving, and correlate this data in order to, again, understand, the performance characteristics of my app. So again, we have all the data into our Azure storage account. We can use, as I said, some of the existing tools. We can use Excel and so on. But I mean, we also need a way to analyze this data. Azure Table Storage is not being designed to run, for example, analytics queries on top of that. You only have one, basically one key, that is the partitioning key. You don't have secondary indexes in Azure tables in order to be able to do aggregations, for example, calculations, and so on. So it's a, again, it's a cheap, generic, general purpose storage that lets you collect all this great deal of information, but at the end of the day, it's not super easy to analyze the data. And also, as you can see here, we are capturing only the app tier, type of diagnostic information generated by our application. We are missing other services. For example, we are missing Azure SQL DB data. So how to collect Azure SQL DB data, diagnostic data, and how to correlate data with what we have inside our compute tier, kind of diagnostic. Well, SQL Azure or Azure SQL DB has a number of what we call diagnostic management views, DMVs. And these are giving us information around performance by reporting, for example, the query statistics, query execution statistics, how long it takes to execute this particular query, how many reads, how many writes, and a number of other interesting information around the query plan, for example, that SQL engine has used to resolve that query. Statistics around the execution requests, who is blocking a particular execution, who is where my engine is spending time, and all this information are basically returned in a tabular way, so we can capture these result sets and store the result set somewhere in order to do post processing analysis. But we also have a kind of a real time view on how our databases in Azure SQL DB are performing. This new DM_DB resource stats are giving us a 15 seconds view in terms of what is the current resource usage of our Azure SQL database on a database by database basis. And we can, it's interesting to be able to correlate these resource consumption statistics with, again, how my application is behaving. Because if we see, for example, that our database in the back end is reaching, kind of a saturation in terms of capacity, and we see, at the same time that our front end, queries are starting to become slower and slower, we probably want to, for example, scale up our database in the backend in order to accommodate more workload, or we may want to scale out, for example, and use a number of smaller databases in order to keep up the pace. We also have data access statistics around, am I using the right set of indexes with the queries that my application is executing? Am I missing some index And so, you know, in terms of my, you know, data management strategy, I can improve application performance and I can reduce, for example, the resource consumption, and so be more efficient and be able to basically respond to more queries using the same set of resources. So these are, and also we have, you know, event logs and exception logs that we, again, we can capture and, you know, correlate with other components. Again, you can see here a very, you know, short example of what you can achieve by accessing this diagnostic information into Azure SQL DB. But again, as I said, you know, this is a database by database approach, or maybe a server by server approach. But to give you an example, one of these social website or social experience, how they call it, is currently using around 700 different databases in order to scale out, you know, and be able to accommodate, you know, user workloads. So, do I need to go and pull, you know, all these 700 databases, you know, one by one? This is definitely not practical. And if I want to understand, for example, what are the top end consumers, what are the queries that are actually consuming more resources, I want to be able to optimize, you know, these top queries. I want to be able to compare how these queries are performing in a shard compared to another. So I may have a group of users that are, you know, experiencing, you know, bad performance, while others are performing quite well. So I want to understand what's going on. I want to understand, you know, query durations. I want to understand if there are blocks or, you know, wait types that are actually, you know, degrading my experience. So in order to do that, I need to think about something, you know, a little bit bigger. I need to be able to collect this data through a proper, you know, telemetry solution, and I need to be able to analyze this kind of information. So Azure Diagnostic is good for managing all these low-level details, for capturing all the data, aggregating the data into a single storage. But then, if I want to do, you know, further analysis, I need to have something that is extracting this diagnostic data from Azure Storage Account and actually is, you know, giving us the ability to run and to execute, you know, a rich set of analytics query that can, you know, respond to the questions that we have. And we need to be able to do that at scale. And this is not, you know, trivial. There are existing tools in the market. System Center, with the application performance monitoring capabilities, is, for example, giving us, is covering a number of these aspects, is able to connect to Azure to Azure tables and to deal with Windows Azure diagnostic data. So there are agents that are available in System Center that can help us to kind of automate the entire end-to-end approach. But you have to have, you know, kind of System Center in-house. You need to be, you know, kind of already an enterprise type of customer that is already adopting, because System Center is not easy to, you know, deploy. It requires a certain, you know, IT experience in order to run the you know, the infrastructure itself, and it's been designed and you know initially created to cover this kind of enterprise customer scenarios. So most of the time, the customer that we see, you know, are moving into the cloud are completely different. They may not have a traditional IT infrastructure in place. They may not have a traditional IT department. And most of the time, we are talking to developers that, you know, that needs, you know, a kind of a flexible way. Maybe a solution that is hosted in the cloud itself in order to monitor and to be able to analyze the data. And we see a number of third-party companies that are actually offering services, you know, full pass services. Like, for example, New Relic is one of these. You know, this is one of my subscriptions that I have with New Relic. It starts as a free subscription, so if you want to start experimenting, it doesn't, you know, cost you anything, and we give you the ability to instrument your application and to start collecting a number of diagnostic information without even change a single line of code in your app. So we capture, for example, web response times, how much is IIS time, how much is .NET code, overhead. We give you an idea of the throughput of your application, what are the top transactions, and so on and so forth. But if you really want to get the most out of it, you need then to install agents on your compute nodes. And there's an automated way, even integrated in the Azure Gallery, to do that and to be able to deploy in your own cloud environment all the diagnostic agents that are required to give you the full picture of, for example, again, node-to-node interactions, latency, and so on and so forth. This is one of the most successful third-party tools that I've seen. Another very good one is AppDynamics. I worked with this tool in the past during customer engagements. I would say the pricing is comparable. AppDynamics is also working on-premises, so you can decide if you want to monitor on-prem solution or cloud solutions or both. And I think, in my experience, AppDynamics is really good for monitoring service-to-service interactions. You can see this map here is basically showing you the interactions between this particular compute node and, for example, a database or a third-party service. We give you, all the latency information, and you can drill down into, for example, single database call and see how much it takes, on average, what's the maximum database response time, and so on and so forth. So definitely a great tool. We introduced last year Application Insights that was initially part of Visual Studio Online. I think now it became part of the Azure portal. And Application Insights is giving you, these three dimensions, basically: availability, performance, and how users are behaving on your application, what kind of, for example, browser they are using, what features are using in your site, and so on. Is currently in preview, and you can use it on your Azure solutions. I will show you very quickly. What I'm talking about. Okay, I do have my Azure portal here, the new preview portal, where I created this tile here that is an Application Insights tile that is monitoring actually my web API solution that I just showed you before. So I'm basically using the standard Application Insights configuration. That's something that you can have, you can see here in Visual Studio. Basically, you can integrate Application Insights with your existing code. It's just adding some instrumentation to your existing projects. And basically is giving you the ability to connect immediately with the Application Insights service and to create this kind of web dashboard inside the new Azure portal. So you basically, it's very easy to set up, and is giving you, for example, information around your availability, your service availability. So these are web tests that I'm running from different data centers to understand if my service is up and running, for example, and how much response, what's the response time, the average response time of my service. You can see here, for example, my response time is increasing because I'm running some stress test on my service. Is giving me information around the server's average response time, the amount of server requests that I'm using, and if I install the Microsoft Monitoring Agent on all my nodes, I can also collect those ambient data, like, for example, performance counters and other interesting information. I also have a search tool here where I can look at all the events that my application is capturing, and I can do a full text search here on all the log log, you know, logged information in my that have been produced by my application. This is interesting, for example, for you know typical product support teams where they need to search for you know specific exception that happened and the user is reporting that you know happened yesterday. They can come here and filter by exception, by you know the type of events that happened, and so on and so forth. You also have a nice graphical representation of you know how this events happened in the past. So again, Application Insight is a nice tool. For now is free of charge. It's currently in preview, but you can start using it. And as you can see here, it's giving you only a view of your compute tier. But in the new Azure portal, you also have the ability, I'm connecting now to the database I'm using for my demo app here, and you also have the ability to look for the diagnostic information I was mentioning for Azure SQL DB. So you can see, for example, the resource utilization. Let me start restart my load test. I created a very simple load test here that is invoking those two methods, so extracting random orders from the database and inserting new orders. So this is a kind of a simple. I created two simple unit tests to insert new customer and to get you know random orders, and then I just created this load test here that is basically doing a 80% read and 20% write or insert into my database. And then I'm running this load test from my Visual Studio instance here. And if I go back to my portal, you can see here, for example, that you know the resource utilization is growing, is now 18%, 20%. And this is an S2 Azure SQL database instance, so it can provide something like 50 database throughput units that you can roughly compare to transactions per second, if you will. And in fact, my load test right now is executing something like 14 to 15 transactions, and here you can see we are consuming 20% of these 50 you know DTUs that we have available for my Azure SQL DB. So you can see here we can also drill down into if my application is using more data IO for database reads, for example, or more log IOs for writes. In this case, I'm definitely reading more data out than you know writing. But again, with this kind of view, you can understand from a database by database perspective what's going on in your in your system. So again, the problem is we have seen a number of interesting services and components that can give us an idea of what's going on in our application. How to put all this together and how to create a single, you know, pane of glass that is giving me, you know, the big picture of my application. Well, what I found is that most of the time you need to build your own. And build your own means reusing some of these basic blocks, basic components, you know, Azure Diagnostic, for example, the Windows Azure Storage tables and blobs and so on, and create your own data acquisition pipeline that can be simple at the beginning, but, you know, depending on what your needs are, you can actually iterate and improve your solution over time. And, you know, this will change over time because the more you become expert in terms of trying to understand, you know, your application behaviors, your usage, you know, patterns, and how users are actually accessing your service, the more feature you would like to add to this you know, diagnostic infrastructure. And I think it's really important, first of all, to understand that there are different in this data acquisition pipeline and data aggregation pipeline, you will have two different streams of data. One is you know, what the nodes and the diagnostic sources are pushing to you in order to, you know, capture this low latency, you know, alert alerting events and so on. And then you have more kind of a batched approach where you are running your you know, long-term analysis, your trend analysis, and so on. So again, in order to collect all this data and, you know, define these two different pipelines, we have seen again these three very simple you know, architectures in place for, you know, creating diagnostic and telemetry solution. The first one is, again, log everything into table storage, use a third-party tool or create your own to extract this information and to create some dashboard for you. This is a kind of an example of what I just described. Most of the time, I've seen customers starting from just capturing the compute tier, diagnostic data, capturing IIS logs, performance counters, and so on, storing everything into a single centralized storage account, and have some sort of tool that creates, you know, this kind of dashboard and nice visualizations. This is the typical, you know, this is the first day of, you know, your telemetry experience, if you will, and works. It works for kind of a limited scale. If you have tens of compute nodes and, you know, a relatively small number of databases, I think you can live with this solution. There are some limits that you need to understand. If this clicker will assist me. So essentially, you will be limited by, as I said, you know, the ability of Azure Table Storage to provide you know, this rich analytic capabilities. You will need to extract this data into something else and to basically maybe create your own, as I said, you know, Excel dashboards and so on and so far. And at the end, the more you are increasing in terms of number of nodes and, you know, the more, you know, your scale will grow up, you will want to filter, you know, the amount of data that you are capturing into the centralized store in order to be efficient. So you may want to sacrifice, you know, the amount of data that you capture in order to be more efficient in extracting this data and visualizing the most important, again, dynamics and trends that you see in the application. And one big problem that you still have here is that you are not looking at the big picture. You are still looking at your compute node most of the time. So the second approach that I'm presenting to you here is a more complete approach that is capturing all this again, all the compute tier information and diagnostics, but is also adding, for example, other services like Azure SQL DB or caching, and is using a centralized worker role in order to capture all this diagnostic information and to store this in diagnostic information in a more kind of queryable environment. Maybe, for example, Azure SQL DB or your SQL Server on-premises or another relational database engine that is giving you the ability to correlate and aggregate data and do calculation in a very, you know, kind of rich and familiar way. And then you can build your report on top of that. Of course, most of the time, this is still a batched process. So this worker role here will pull the data, the DMV data from database, will pull the data from the diagnostic, and will create this aggregated you know, operational store in your environment. And you can create some of these nice dashboards here. This is a real example that I created for a customer where you can see, you know, all the aggregated data from the compute node here, the CPU usage or application response time. And you can see, for example, the resource usage in the database tier. So how many cores, CPU cores, you know, how many reads and writes to the database and so on and so forth. So this is giving the operations team the ability to understand exactly what's going on in the system, and we packaged the work that we have done with this initial set of customers into a reusable library, let's say, that you can find here. It is called the Cloud Service Fundamentals, and you can find it on MSDN Gallery. Code Gallery, sorry. And there are also a number of articles that we wrote to describe how to create a solution like the one that I just described that is covering, again, both the compute tier, you know, the database tier, and other services to service interaction. You still have some limits here because essentially, you know, the entire pipeline processing from capturing the data, so from when the event is happening and when, you know, the data are available for you know, the running the analysis that I was describing is kind of slow. It requires, you know, minutes at least. So it's not ready for the near real-time kind of analysis and alerting that I was mentioning before. But it's a good, you know, improvement compared to the previous one. And also, the more your solution is growing in terms of number of roles, number of nodes, and so on, and the more you're getting into trouble. If you have kind of a petabyte, you know, scale kind of telemetry requirement, like, for example, the one we have by monitoring Azure SQL DB. I mean, Azure SQL DB is a PaaS solution, right? And we have an internal telemetry solution to monitor what's going on in Azure SQL DB. And this is processing, you know, literally terabytes of data a day, diagnostic data that are generated by these hundreds of thousands of compute nodes that are running the service. And, you know, the way we are approaching this is by adopting some big data technologies here in the middle where, you know, all the diagnostic data are generated through all our Azure SQL DB clusters here are captured in Windows Azure Storage, like, you know, what we have done in the previous example. But now we are running MapReduce jobs in HD Insights, for example, in order to, you know, process this huge amount of data that are persisted here in Windows Azure Storage and, you know, save this kind of synthesized data into a traditional enterprise data warehouse. And then, you know, on top of this enterprise data warehouse, our support organization, our, you know, internal capacity planning team and so on is running, you know, analytical queries in order to understand how to better run the service and evolve the service. So this is a way that we have to scale up to literally hundreds of thousands of monitored, you know, node that we have. But still we have the problems in terms of end-to-end latency. Because when we, you know, run this kind of batch processes, MapReduce jobs, again, it takes, you know, minutes between when the event is happening on the, you know, on the generation side, on the, you know, diagnostic side, up to when, you know, data are available. So how to deal with that? You can adopt some kind of, again, near real-time technology in your system and be able to capture, you know, this low latency flow of diagnostic data by using a different channel compared to the batch analytics approach that I was describing before. So essentially what you need to do is to plug in a new, you know, pipe in your data acquisition pipeline that is much, much more efficient and much more, you know, again, real time. What we recently introduced in our Azure infrastructure that can help you to build this kind of pipeline is, for example, Apache Storm on top of our HD Insight service. So this is, for example, letting you to consume events, you know, high frequency events that are stored in, for example, Event Hub, the Windows Azure event broker mechanism that we have based on service bus, and, you know, events that are captured by our application, you know, diagnostic will be available by, for example, the traditional pipeline, so basically saved or processed in a batched way through HD Insights, but also through Apache Storm in order, again, to be able to process in near real time and to be able to produce all the alerting mechanism that we need. We also just recently announced, in addition to Apache Storm, the new Azure Stream Analytics that is basically giving you the similar capabilities but will let you express with the SQL language instead of writing Java code, you know, the same kind of analytical capabilities on this event stream high frequency event stream that is generated by our own application and our diagnostic sources. So this is an interesting path. And the next step, we are talking about here, a very advanced kind of situation where only few of the customers we have worked with are, we started from a kind of a manual approach of dealing with diagnostic sources, diagnostic information. We kind of automated the data acquisition, process, and we centralized the information. Then we added, an external service in order to be able to run some, level of, aggregated queries and intelligent queries. And here we are talking about, near real-time analysis and possibly also machine learning, applying machine learning techniques. Again, we recently introduced Azure ML, Azure Machine Learning capabilities. And what this is giving you is the ability, for example, to do predictive analytics on top of this diagnostic data. So trying to understand, how to prevent failures in the future by looking at, this diagnostic data. How to auto-tune, for example, alert. You don't want to receive, a huge amount of alerts that are basically meaningful for, to solve, your problem. You want the system to tune itself and to learn from, for example, what are the critical events that I really need to receive and alerts that I really need to receive instead of, the ones that are, it's interesting to collect for long-term analysis, but are not relevant for solving your immediate problem. Okay, so applying, machine learning algorithm is actually a real technique that we are using in Azure SQL DB in order to, understand what kind of errors are happening in our user databases, what kind of experience the users are having, and try to understand if, we can improve the service by, changing some of these behaviors. And by using machine learning, you can connect, for example, to this aggregated data that are hosted in Azure SQL DB after your processing pipeline, have extracted and sanitized and blah, blah, blah. And you can, again, run, some of these statistical models on top of, this aggregated data that will give you essentially the ability to do, predictive tasks on our, diagnostic data here. So, I think we have covered a little bit, the end-to-end spectrum of how to capture, how to analyze and process diagnostics information from large and complex cloud solutions. As I said, this is a journey. This is not something that you will start from day one when you are deploying your solutions in the cloud, but I think it's super important to have some of these good habits directly when you are developing your application, be able to, log and trace all the relevant information, augment, all this trace information with, the kind of ambient data that I was describing from the operating system counters and other diagnostic sources. Correlate all these different diagnostic sources, across different services, so compute tier, data tier, cache tier, and so on, and have all this diagnostic information in a single place, and then add some more advanced capabilities like, real-time alerting mechanisms, and ultimately, do some more statistical analysis on what's going on in your system, and this will give you, the ability to anticipate or to, avoid, massive failures in your solution when this is, up and running and serving your customers. So you will find a lot of these concepts and, what I described here today in these white papers that you can find on the MSDN. And I encourage you to take a look and, to deploy the code package that I mentioned before. And that's pretty much all. I think we are running out of time, but if you have questions, I will be around for some time here. And thank you again for for taking the time to attend this session. And thank you again.